Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
On for Boston, the Red Sox have made it 9 in a row, and they sweep an opponent, TC, for the third consecutive series.
Quit it now!
Hey, what you think of that win last night for the Red Sox?
Oh, we asterisking it?
No. I don't know.
To be fair to David Price, you know, you're sitting there and you're watching Chris Sale get out of that jam, and you get the double play, and you're thinking, oh my God, you see the fist pump, this is Chris Sale's Red Sox moment. But then you gotta, if that was David Price doing it against the Rangers, would we sit here and compliment Price, or would we say, ah, he did it against a bad team? But it felt like it was really Chris Sale's, you know, marquee moment as a pitcher for the Boston Red Sox. Like, it was that simple.
Yeah, I mean, listen, regular season, sure.
Yeah.
Great. Listen,
but I mean, you see the way this thing's trending.
Chris Sale was brilliant last night. Oh. He was awesome. It was a joy.
They're going to screw up another Chris Sale start.
That was a pleasure to watch that game through the first six innings and watch him. And you mentioned the double play ball that he got to get out of that. And that was a hell of a play, by the way. All the way around.
It was a hell of a play by Bogarts because that thing goes high and left. And you're thinking, uh-oh, if that thing goes into center field. How many times have you seen a pitcher throw one out in the center field? You know, but he kept his composure. He snagged it, threw it to him. Bogarts said, man, he had something on that. And, boy, you get out of that jam. But the strikeout prior.
And Carter was getting down the line on that, too, man. He was moving.
That was close.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. By the way, replay gets in the way of great moments now, I've realized. Even when there isn't a replay.
Yeah,
because that should have been like the highlight where he gets a double play and he walks off right into the dugout down those steps. And then it's like, oh, hold up. They might replay it. And everyone has to stop.
I hate that.
Everyone has to stop and watch. So you've got a situation last night where the first seven innings of the game were absolutely terrific, right? Sale was absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
How fun is that to watch that? Any given start for Chris Sale, he's just great, right?
Yeah, but that's what you want out of your ace. Like, it's, you know, as you head to the break, the way that guy's trending and the way David Price is trending, pitching tonight, and this is a big spot for Price, because as you go into the break, how you feel about Chris Sale or how you feel about David Price, two totally different ends of the spectrum.
And the broadcast last night kept pumping that record with the strikeouts and having one or fewer walks in a game. Great. He's terrific. I love the guy.
So what, it's like over 11 strikeouts in the last five games or something? At least 11 strikeouts in the last five starts?
Does the end of that game not scare the hell out of you,
Jesus,
though?
Jesus, yeah. But I just hope that's not like a precursor for the, you know, say you get that, you know, obviously you're going to the playoffs, right? And you have one of those type of games where Chris Sale goes out and pitches a hell of a gem, and you end up blowing one of those first three games. And you're thinking, oh, God, here we go. Here we go all over again with this team. And that's what makes people nervous. It really does. Because as good as this team is and the record that they have, you can see this guy go out, pitch a gem, and all of a sudden you whiz it away. They fix this thing, and I don't know how they fix it.
I look at last night and say the eighth inning is such a problem that you had a brilliant start from Chris Sale. Absolutely brilliant start. And you had to bring in your closer for four outs, and you had to bring him in a tight situation in the eighth.
Yeah, Gore says I hate to put him in that spot, but I had no choice.
He's got no choice.
He's got no choice at that point. How many times are we going to come here and say the eighth inning's a problem? The eighth inning's a problem. How do you fix it?
And the sixth inning could have been a problem. Had it not been for great defensive play on the double play.
Oh, on the strikeout.
And they get themselves out of the sixth. You get him into the seventh, and he cranks it right back up and starts striking everybody out again, which was awesome. That seventh inning was fabulous. I just thought the seventh inning was great to come back, bounce back after getting in a little bit of trouble the previous inning. And you still got to use Craig Kimbrell for four outs last night because your bullpen sucks that badly with a 4-0 lead. It's just aggravating. You just wish it would have been. Last night is a perfect clean win. Could have been a clean win. It wasn't. That drives me crazy. This bullpen sucks.
It gives life to Jim Murray's spin the wheel for Alex Cora of bullpen bums. It gives Murray life to that little bit that he does. Yeah, it frustrates you. Frustrates the hell out of you.
So that's sort of my aggravation. On the other hand, Chris Sale, as I mentioned, has been absolutely great. And not only that, I think it's an appropriate time to bring up all the people who didn't like Chris Sale when he was in Chicago because of him cutting up the jerseys.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't like Chris Sale before he became a member of the Red Sox. Hard to find anyone who complains about him now. This video was on the camera guy's Twitter last night.
Oh, Moose.
Yeah. Moose did a sit-down with Chris Sale and talked to Chris Sale, and Chris Sale mentions his jersey-cutting incident in this video. I thought this was great. I think it kind of speaks to Chris Sale's personality. I know that we always say, you barely know these guys. You know, baseball's boring. What are their personalities? Do we know any of these guys? What the hell do you know about Mookie Betts?
Need more of this.
Blah, 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 whatever. I feel like we got to know a little something about Chris Sale last night, if you were fortunate enough to see this video. Not only was he great on the mound, he was taping this video, I'm guessing, pregame yesterday or the day before. Here he is.
So, Chris, we just had the 4th of July.
Yep.
I talked to you. The suspenders and the no shirt look. I mean, I can't pull it off, but you did.
Oh, I tried. That came pretty quick. We were in the clubhouse, and I was just I actually intended on wearing something else.
Sure.
And
sure you did.
Once I put that on, everyone was like, "Yeah, you gotta
rock that.
You have to go with that." So I took up for the team and went with it.
I get it. I mean, the thing is, clearly, maybe shirts are a little bit of a thing for you. Would you say, like, should I cut the sleeves on this?
If you need help, I can help.
You got scissors?
I got you.
Okay. All right. That's cool. It's good to know I have backup.
I'm pretty good at jersey alterations.
You are?
And shirts and stuff like that.
All right. When you were, like, in kindergarten, did you go around and cut up the other kids' work and stuff like that?
I should have. It probably would have made me better grades.
Right. I know. I was never very good at cutting it.
So, it was so sneaky.
Awesome.
Just... You know,
he was dying laughing the whole time, too, like talking about cutting up.
Yeah, you got to see the video.
Jersey alterations, you're kind of wearing no shirts. Yeah.
Cut things. The audio doesn't do it justice.
Good at cutting things. Yeah. Like he is having himself a really fun time making fun of the whole jersey cutting thing.
Yeah.
Like, I actually think that's pretty good.
Yeah. It's we need more of this. Like, this is great. And I tell you what, this is one of the sneaky, sneaky good Twitter followers. These camera guys.
I don't think it's sneaky.
Yeah.
I think it's generally good.
Just in Zoe's defense, because I busted his balls on sneaky good.
Yeah.
Actually, on a national level over the weekend.
I heard this on your lithium thing.
Right.
What was going on there?
Right. I don't know. I made mention of it.
Well, thanks for mentioning.
But last night, I was doing Boston Sports Tonight, and I said to one of the camera guys, I said, "Hey, camera guys, sneaky good Twitter follow."
See?
So, yes.
Because
it
sort of flies under the radar.
It does fly under the radar. Camera guys, what is this?
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, you should follow it.
It's actual content.
Yes, it is.
It's good.
Yeah. They're on the spot. They talk to all these guys. Yeah.
Red Sox bullpen got in the way of a nice clean win last night. That's all I got to say. Because Chris Sale was awesome. Chris Sale's now, showing some personality off the field. Chris Sale was excellent on the field. If I were the Red Sox, I'd be saying, yeah, I don't think you should pitch in the All-Star game. I think you should skip that thing.
Mass is all over that.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
I'd skip that thing and do whatever you can to get him his rest and get him right back on the hill on the other side.
He said skip that and then don't let him pitch, I guess, the next week fall and give him a ton of rest.
I don't know how I've never seen it before, but when Hembree was on the mound last night, I'm like, that's John Lackey. You put 5 extra pounds around his jowls. It's old fat John Lackey. Yeah, he's got the mouth breather thing, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. That bullpen is annoying. That bullpen is going to get in the way of things.
Yep.
They got to go out and fix it. I think last night, you win the game. Kimbrell gave up a run, but I don't even blame him for it. It wasn't his run.
Put the tying run at the plate after Sale does what he does last night.
That's embarrassing. You can't let that happen. That's a bad team over there, too.
Yeah. Isn't that the scary thing, though, when you scout this team and you watch them and whatever team you're going to face them, whether it's Yankees, whether it's Houston, or whether it's even Cleveland. Say you get Cleveland first round. You know, let's get to the eighth inning. Let's see what happens. Keep the game close. Your goal as the other team should be keep the game close to the eighth inning. And then you got a shot because the eighth inning is a mess. Now, what are you going to do? You're going to use Kimbrel every time for four out saves? Is he going to come in for a five out save?
No, it's not going to work.
Right.
Can't have that be your plan.
That's your problem.
Let's talk about David Price. He spoke to Shaughnessy yesterday. This was pregame.
Good spot tonight for him,
huh? Yeah, David Price starts tonight. Red Sox have won nine in a row. They haven't lost since he blew up in the Bronx. Oh. We'll get to Price's comments to Shaughnessy next.
Sola and Bertrand. Middays on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I got to say, David Price spoke to Dan Shaughnessy yesterday. Dan Shaughnessy's having himself a hell of a week.
Yeah, big week.
Yeah. Just keep...
Got a racket on every floor.
Keep my head down, keep working hard. So, you know?
Walked in, saw David Price, I said, good evening.
Good evening. Weirdo.
What a weirdo.
All right, what was your reaction after you read David Price? After you read this story, you read his quotes.
I mean, he's giving you the quotes that you supposedly want to hear, right? I don't know what to make of this guy. It's one thing one day, it's one thing the other. He knows he's in a tough spot tonight. Huge tough spot tonight.
But you generally can't stand David Price. You've told us many times
right.
You're rooting
against him. I don't believe really anything that comes out of his mouth because it changes every freaking time.
But what did you make? What did you think of the things he said?
He's right.
I think this is the best interview he's ever given in this
town.
He's right.
I can't sit here and rip him for what he said.
Not at all.
No.
Not at all. I mean, yeah, he might be just saying the right things.
He knew what he was doing.
To say the right things. But let me tell you something. He said the right things.
What if it's...
And he didn't say, like, the cliche... I mean, maybe he did a little cliche stuff. But what he said in this interview with Dan Shaughnessy, I think reflects pretty well on David Price. I can't believe I'm saying that.
Well, what else are you going to say about it? I mean, really, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, you could call him a phony, call him a fraud, say he's just trying to,
isn't it based on how he pitches, too? Because if he goes out and throws another turn
tonight, of course it always is.
We're going to come in tomorrow and rip him.
We're interested in what the guys say, too.
That's polarizing.
Why we're here.
The guy's polarizing. It's the only thing I really want to hear. From anybody on that team, I want to hear David Price every day.
Shaughnessy to David Price. You said you were searching after the bad outing in KC the other night. Did you find what you were looking for? Yep. Can you tell me what you learned? Nope. Is it mechanical? Yep. That's the start of the conversation. I love Shaughnessy's questions. How did you end up hitting three guys in one inning? I tried to make sure I got the ball in. I just got it too far in. How do you feel about facing the Yankees again later this year? And Price said, I feel great moving forward for the rest of the season and great facing the Yankees again, whenever that may be. That's a team I've pitched against a lot in my career, probably more games than any team in the big leagues, maybe with the exception of Toronto. I pitched against both of them a lot. I've had some bad games against the Yankees a few times. I gave up 9 straight hits against them when I was in Detroit in 15.
Boy, he remembers that, huh?
9 straight hits. No walk. I love his answer here. 9 straight hits. No walks. No sack flies. No hit by pitches. 9 straight knocks.
I got rocked.
He's not afraid to tell you. I got shelled by those guys in 15, too.
He's also telling you I can't pitch against that team. Like, they're my nemesis.
He said, have you been able to tune out the noise around you here in Boston? He says, yes.
No,
I'm
wrong.
Still not a subscriber to whatever papers there are.
Oh,
I don't know the last time I listened to FM or AM radio.
See? This is where, like, you want to stop reading the column because he's giving you a load of crap there. Of course he's bothered by it. Of course he's sensitive.
Okay, but he said that he doesn't read the papers. He may not read the papers. He doesn't have to read the papers.
I don't think anybody reads
it. He has to open up Twitter to see it.
Yeah.
It's not the papers. Get the papers. And he says, I don't know the last time I listened to FM or AM. Maybe he hasn't. Maybe he's smartened up and tuned it out. Me, that being Shaughnessy. Have you heard the guy who does a killer impression of you on the Sports Hub?
This is supposedly the one who pissed him off and we went after Drellick. Right,
but that he saw it on TV, not on FM or AM radio, as he said. It was on TV.
Oh, okay.
And he said,
all right.
No,
Which liar. I believe is to be a lie.
See, this is...
Lie.
Deflect, yeah.
That's smart, though.
Right.
That's, like, sort of smart for me to be like, no, I haven't seen it. Yeah, I've seen it. I hate that. MF-er.
See, he doesn't do this article if Trellick's asking him the same questions. He's, in a weird way, he trusts Dan, because Dan's gotten interviews from him. And Dan's there all the time, and he's defended Price. David Price knows Dan Shaughnessy, if anybody in this town, has actually defended him the most.
But that's not an important question. Have you seen the guy who does the impression? No, I'm not. Haven't seen it. But here's the important stuff. Any chance you opt out of your contract at the end of this year? And this is a question he answered once already with John Morosi in that tweet the other day. And Price followed up with something that I think is more transparent and even more honest. And I don't think he was lying or anything the other day. I just think that it was one tweet. We didn't get a ton of context. Here's Price's answer. I'm not going to sit here and say there's 0% chance when there's always a chance of anything. But that's nothing that I'm thinking about or putting any thought to or talking to anyone else about. I expect to win, and I expect to do that here. That is, to me, the best answer David Price has ever given to any question he has ever faced here in Boston. I'm not going to tell you there's no chance. Of course there's a chance. But that's not something that he's thinking about,
right,
and he wants to win and wants to do it here.
It's a good answer. I mean, it's sort of incomplete, right? He's like, I'm going to give you the best answer I can now.
It feels real.
It's a lot of time between now and then. You may want me. It's up to him. It's how he pitches.
There is one answer, though, that I feel like you really deflected and didn't want to answer, and that is, it seems like you hate it here. Do you hate Boston? And his response was, I've never said I've hated Boston or had a problem with the fans. Okay, just because you didn't say it doesn't mean you don't.
Right.
That's a perception that's put on me through you guys in the media. Mm-hmm. That's what that is.
See, that's the...
It's like when we were in Minnesota and I said I wasn't deserving of being an all-star and didn't think I should be an all-star, and then all that crap got put out. It turns into that. So write what you want to write.
Well, that's why people... But your tone in Minnesota, the way you answered it.
Maybe he can say... I mean, what I would have wished for him to say is, I hate the media here. Oh, okay. All right. That'd be honest. Because I think that's what he's trying to say.
Who does like the media here?
Nobody. Nobody right. does. I wouldn't like us. Do you ever wish you signed somewhere else? No. That was the final answer.
Good answer.
No.
Good answer considering the amount of money that's left on your contract.
I mean, how can he possibly say yes?
Right.
So I don't really give much credit to that. The one answer, though, is the opt-out answer. That, to me, is the best answer he gave in this interview, and it's the most real answer I think the guy's ever given here. Good for him.
Yeah. I think you could throw the Yankee answer in there, too, where he went in depth as to when he got shelled in Detroit, the 9th straight
Oh,
hit,
also a good answer.
Which tells you the Yankees are in my head. Like, he's trying to show you, yeah, it doesn't bother me. I threw worse outings against those guys. No? Because you remember that. You're scarred by that. You don't forget those. The great pitchers come back and pitch well. You know, you want to get back out. See, he doesn't seem like the guy, you know what, give me the damn ball against the Yankees. I can't wait for that next start. He sort of grouped it all in, you know. I want to pitch well the rest of the year, including the Yankees. Now, you were brought here to beat the Yankees. That's what this is going to come down to. Last two series against those guys. How many games does he pitch? Does he pitch two in those two series? And does he get the ball in the playoffs against them? That's what it's going to be about. And that's what we'll evaluate David Price on. It's that simple.
If he goes out and he pitches well, though, in the playoffs, I don't think it wipes out everything that's happened to this point.
It doesn't wipe out, but you feel better about him because you know he's not opting out.
This is year three.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I get what you're saying. You feel better about him going forward?
Right.
Yeah, I just think if that's what you're waiting for, you might be waiting for a while.
It's going to take a lot to really
turn
people as to how you view him.
You might be waiting for a while for that whole playoff thing to come through.
And God, he could probably be a Bear at that point. Say he does turn us around. Say he does pitch well in the playoffs. He's going to be such a snarky, you know what. If he gave it to you after the way he was pitching against teams that really aren't that good, I know a lot of people have a problem with that. Like, what do you want him to do? He's supposed to go out and he's supposed to win every time.
Well, I've saved them all up for October, you know.
But Shaughnessy lands the interview.
Good for Dan.
Good for Dan Shaughnessy.
Is Dan gone?
Yeah, no, he is gone. He's not here anymore.
A freaking call.
No longer with us.
Did you get that video?
Did
you
get the picture I sent you of the secret photograph of Scott Zolak? Is Dan there?
I don't remember. Is Dan gone?
617-779-0985. Thoughts on Sale? Thoughts on last night's Red Sox win?
I'm sorry.
We just couldn't just get the clean win. And now tonight, David Price goes to the mound. So with some pressure for a regular season game against a bad team, which is hard to generate.
Yeah, it's almost one of those spots.
Remember, keep it going.
You'd always start to think, boy, this is the point where Clay Buchholz turns the corner, and then he gets that last start right before the break and ends up crapping the bed. Next thing you know, he's shut down. Not to say he's Clay Buchholz, but
yeah.
It's like, what are you going to think about David Price for the next 10 days?
Keep it going, dude. Tonight. Keep it going. You've had two bad starts.
Don't be the guy that turns
it around. Don't be the guy that breaks this thing up. Yeah. Don't be the guy.
You haven't lost since he got chilled. You haven't lost since he got chilled.
There's that, and then there's also Dustin Pedroia. He has spoken, and Alex Cora has said more about Dustin Pedroia. Let's talk about that after headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Red Sox won their ninth straight last night after beating the Texas Rangers and completing the sweep 4-2 the final from Fenway Park. Chris Sale was on the mound. Champ, how'd you do it?
More of the same, you know, just trying to throw strikes, fill the zone. You know, yet again, the guys come through and put some runs on the board, and takes a little bit of the tension off. So allows me to just go out there and try to throw strikes and fill up the zone.
Now they win number 10 in a row. It's Chris Sale to the mound, as Beetle just said tonight. Toronto's in town as the homestand continues leading up to the All-Star break. In the World Cup yesterday, it was Croatia defeating England. They'll go on to play France in the final match on Sunday. Celtics had the day off yesterday for Summer League in Vegas. Single elimination phase of Summer League starts this afternoon when they take on the New York Knicks. Headlines are brought to you by the first annual Core Golf Invitational, July 23rd, Hopkinton Country Club. It benefits the First Tee of Massachusetts. You can sign up today at coregolf.com/invitational. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Like Alex said, there's no timetable. I mean, if I can't control how the human body heals, I would love to. I mean, I'd love to play right now. But that's not really... I can't. You know what I mean? So... You know, once everything heals permanently and we'll check that with MRIs and things like that, how I'm progressing. And once that happens and I maintain my strength and keep working hard at that, it shouldn't be long. So hopefully I just heal fast.
So now there's this idea that Dustin Pedroia came back too soon. Oh, you think? Oh, that's a novel concept.
See, you can't buy the hill fast part, right? I mean, he's had time. And I'm starting to think what you said yesterday, where they're sending him to Arizona to mentally get him away from the game. Because you hear it in his voice there, and I feel bad for him. I know we all have fun with the little leader stuff and that, but he wants to play. And he's just one of those kinds that you get him around the team, he's going to be doing extra rehab. He's not taking up space, but you know he's not close. But he wants to think he's close. And you may be right on that. Get him out to Arizona so that he's not thinking baseball, baseball, baseball every day and there's pressure.
He's not playing this
year.
He's not.
And maybe when he gets out there.
They might be allowing him to keep that hope in his mind. They're not going to have him play. He said yesterday that if he plays too early... And if he comes back too early and the graph fails, then that's it. Why were you playing then? Why are you back at the end of May? Who let you play at the end of May if your concern now is that the entire thing and the surgery is going to fail and fall apart on you because you came back too soon? Then clearly you came back too soon in May.
Well,
whether that was because he was putting pressure on the team to let him come back or someone in the medical staff just missed something, they screwed this up.
Yeah.
The player, the team, someone screwed this up for him. I don't. And by the way, I wouldn't even say that's why he's not playing now, because who knows that he would even be healthy by now.
Well, you're kind of out in the dark on this one, too, because there's really no precedent. There's nothing to look at and say, okay, this is a 6 to 8 week timetable with these type of things. This is something new. This is something different that you're grafting, you're drilling, you're trying to regenerate cartilage. Like, the GM said he's got a bad knee. I keep going back to that, but he sat there and said, you guys got to realize this guy's got a bad knee. But somebody targeted that date. Because Corey, even when he came back, he said, well, we always knew Petey was coming back. This is the timetable. The team put that timetable out there. Not the player. He's always going to want to play. He's like Edelman or Amendola. Yeah, are you okay? Well, I'm not right, but I want to play. The team put him out there. They're the one that activated him. They're the one that DFA'd Hanley Ramirez. So that was put out there by the team. They were all in on that. I mean, we live in the best medical place in this country. How do you not know that, the knee's not going to be right here, guys? He's not ready yet. And this is the same team that also put Nunez out there on one knee, and John Farrell had to carry him off in a game, in a big
jelly
playoff game.
Yeah, jelly.
I mean,
someone messed up here, and that has become pretty obvious, but I'm not even sure it matters. I'm not sure he would have been healthy anyway to come back and play right now. So I don't know what the damage or the consequence has been. Maybe the damage is that he wouldn't make it back by the end of the season and wouldn't be available to you for the playoffs.
Right.
And I guess they're still holding out hope that that's the case. That it's only July, and maybe 2 months from now, he feels a lot better. But I don't know. I'm not optimistic about this. He might be optimistic. I don't know if you caught any of Alex Cora doing his weekly interview across the street yesterday.
I did not.
He started referring to the fact that, well, he's got time left on his contract, and said that if he's not back this year, we know he'll be back healthy next year. And I'm thinking to myself, how the hell do you know that?
You don't. You're in the dark on this one with this knee, I'm telling you. But they're sitting there looking at it at the $55 million that's left and the amount of years, and you're crossing your fingers hoping he'll be back. See, Pedroia said, too, I'll be back better than ever.
It sounds to me, you're not.
You don't know that.
You're not going to be back better than ever. That's foolish. Foolish to say something like that.
Holes in your knee.
But I also just think that if you're talking about next year already, that's it. You're looking at this year as a real, 1 in 100 chance long shot. He's done.
The team's pretty good and they're doing well, too. You're scrambling. You're hovering around 500. We're trying to get this guy back.
It's not about that because you're better with a healthy Dustin Pedroia than anything you've offered at second base this
Correct.
Year. So it's not about that. It's not about the fact that you're winning. Like, you don't need someone or you wouldn't want him on your team. He's a better option than anything else they have when healthy at second base. I'm sorry. I'd much rather see Dustin Pedroia playing second base than Nunez or Brock Holt or any of these guys.
Totally agree with that.
Yeah. So it's not like, oh, don't worry. We don't need you. I don't really need you. So just go and no, he's not playing because he's hurt. And if he is not hurt at any point and he's fully healed, he will be playing. I just don't see that happening in the near future. I can't believe that. He's worried about that thing failing. How did they let this guy play? How did the Red Sox let him get activated and go out and do a rehab and then come? How did they allow that to happen?
I don't know.
And have it go badly so fast?
Like, I'm sorry to bring up the Nunez thing, but I mean, how did you not know that guy's knee was going to fall apart the second he came out of the box? Like, that's crazy. Do these guys just, they play when they want to play, but the medical people don't hold them back? This could be a Red Sox medical thing, too. I mean, but they were all in on the date. They estimated a timetable when this guy was going to be back. And they counted on it. Thank God they're winning. Thank God they have good leadership elsewhere, too. Because you think this guy's the leader in the clubhouse?
Well, who do you think it is without him?
I think it might be Chris Sale. Maybe J.D. Martinez.
I was going to say, I think it's J.D. Martinez who I think it is.
Yeah, I think quietly. And it's just, it's almost like it's not a Johnny Gomes, vocal type, or, Ortiz had the persona or the presence. Like, J.D. Martinez doesn't seem like he has a presence, but it seems like, hey, it's working for this guy. Everything that he does, his approach, his study habits, all that we as young players, we want to be like him. That's a different kind of leadership, but you don't have that big, imposing personality to what Shaughnessy called a boring team.
Yeah, but I don't know that has anything to do with it. I mean, I just think J.D. Martinez is having an impact on other players, and
that's leadership.
Other players have started to look up to him, including this story from Drellick yesterday. The 5 runs the Red Sox scored on Monday were divvied up between a pair of players who homered. Steve Pierce with his 2-run home run, and J.D. Martinez helping seal a 5-0 victory with a 3-run home run. Both left Fenway on Monday night. Before they both left, they stood in the Red Sox clubhouse and looked at a phone. They're watching video. Not of Pierce's home run, not of Martinez's either. Oh, we were looking at me, Pierce said. We were looking at, like, other hitters. Oh, sorry. We weren't looking at me. We were looking at other hitters. We're talking about swing paths and swing planes. That's the stuff we are talking about more than changing mechanics or batting stance or stuff like that. It was more like everyone has a swing path. He started showing me Mike Trout, how they do this. This is what makes them do, makes them who they are. And it's so funny when he's showing me. I'm like, replay that. I'm not seeing what you're seeing. He has that down to a science. Pierce has been here, what, like 10 days?
Yeah.
He said at one point that in this story, he might tell me to go up there and hit with 1 foot in the air, and I'd probably do it because that's how much I trust the guy and respect his knowledge. That's Pierce, who's been here for how long? A couple weeks, less than a couple weeks, talking about his new teammate,
that's
JD
the
Martinez.
Guy. Yeah, that's the guy I'm going to follow.
Granted, I think they were together maybe in Houston. I have to go back. Mm. But either way, that to me, even if it's mechanic, you know, figuring out swing stuff, and we've heard this with JD Martinez and other players, I think JD Martinez is becoming the leader of the team on and off the field.
Yeah.
In the lineup and in the clubhouse.
Boy, I have this guy wrong. Totally wrong. Pegged wrong. The cooler 2.0.
Not the
thought
cooler.
Thought he was the next Adrian Gonzalez.
Not the cooler.
No, the guy works. It works here for him.
617-779-0985. Your baseball thoughts on the phone lines. And also, there's yet another opinion and development on Kyrie Irving and why it was that he considered leaving Cleveland after winning a championship with LeBron James. And the latest on Marcus Smart. Could there be a sign and trade in the works? Why don't we get to this coming up next?
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive is happening just 2 days from now, Saturday. 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Best Western in Woburn. The first 80 donors will receive a coupon for a free appetizer from Waxy O'Connor's. Walk-ins are welcome or schedule an appointment at redcrossblood.org. The Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive, Saturday, 10 to 3:30, Best Western in Woburn. And as you already know by now, the Red Cross has issued an urgent alert. They have an urgent need for blood right now, especially type O. They need all blood types, but especially type O right now. So please get to the Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive Saturday, 10 to 3:30 at the Best Western in Woburn. 617-779-0985. The latest on Marcus Smart is this. It's possible that there will be a sign-and-trade. Possible, I say. Only because it's been reported that other teams who have started to talk to Marcus Smart apparently want to think about doing a deal that involves them trading for Smart. Meanwhile, Danny Ainge says Marcus is our top priority. Do you think the Celtics will trade Marcus Smart? Do you think they would do that?
No.
Why?
Because I think Danny understands what he means to this team and the role that he plays here, that, you know what, it works here. It does. It's almost like you need him. You need that grit, you need that energy, because who else brings that? Who else on this team brings that? It's the perfect spot for him. I think Danny knows that he's better off here. We're probably a better off team if we have him, because he's not a guy pounding his fist. I want more time. I want more shots. I'm the guy. It seems like he understands his role here perfectly, and it works here.
Here's a tweet from Jordan Schultz. Several teams, including the Grizzlies and Nets, have inquired about a sign-and-trade with the Celtics for Marcus Smart, who has already met with Brooklyn. Source also says that Boston has had zero communication or contact with Smart. Do you know why Danny's not going to trade him?
Why?
He doesn't have to. Is Marcus Smart going to get an offer that blows away what Danny already offered him back in the fall?
No.
No. He's not going to get that offer.
No, it seems like he's panicking. Meaning Marcus Smart. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sign and trade.
We talked about this yesterday.
Hey, you want him? You know what I'd say to the other
team? Sign and trade makes no sense.
Hey, you want him? Go ahead. Sign him to the contract. Yeah. He's a restricted free agent.
He's right there. Make the offer.
Go for it. Make him an offer. What do you need?
Of course the Celtics have
no
contact.
Because they're afraid the Celtics will just match whatever the offer is. And he gets to keep Marcus Smart.
Well,
and likely,
pay him,
given the depressed market that there is for Marcus Smart, he'd get him in a good deal. Go ahead. Go get a deal, Marcus. Doesn't, again, this agent is a clown. How does all this crap get? This is all from the agent.
He's trying to stir it up and create. He's trying to create a fictitious market.
What are you
that
doing?
Doesn't exist.
You know why Danny Ainge is not talking to you right now?
He doesn't have to.
He doesn't have to.
Right.
Go out and get your Marcus. Go get your offer. Do it. Go sign somewhere else.
You know how Danny Ainge views Marcus Smart as a nice piece. He's a nice piece right there.
No, he has value.
Yeah, of course.
Value to the team.
Yeah. But he says, you know, why is their top priority? Why he's their top priority? Everybody else locked up.
And Danny also has the high ground in this, in that you can't accuse Danny of not having been generous with him at any point. He offered him 4 and 44 already in the fall. And Smart basically blew him off.
How do you?
Yeah. He's like, are you serious? Like,
so look, you play the game now.
I just gave you a really good offer. Gave you a good offer, and you guys don't want to play ball. You don't need. He didn't even want to really discuss it. They didn't even want to get into a talks at that point. So Danny's like, all right, well, you've chosen your bed. Now lie in it. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Marcus. Go get your offer. He's not going to. Why trade him?
A little bit of that Isaiah Thomas disease.
Totally.
I feel like I'm worth way, way, way more than what you pay me. Yeah. Yeah, you got one guy still trying to find a team, and this guy trying to create a market that doesn't exist. Those two players.
So here's what I want to know. If Marcus Smart has to tuck his tail and come back and sign the mid-level, is everything going to be cool for the year when he comes back? Or are we going to hear him whining and complaining the whole time?
No, I think everything would be cool.
See, I'm hoping that's the case. Yeah. And I'm hoping that a lot of this is just agents trying to stir crap up.
Because you also got to look at it, too, is, man, I blew it. I had $44 million sitting there, and I didn't take it.
Right.
At that time.
Malcolm
so what
Butler,
am I going to do? I'm going to come back.
Like
I'm going to take
Butler
less, and then I'm going to bitch?
Malcolm Butler couldn't get over restricted free agents.
Right.
He couldn't. It affected him on the field. And he even admitted it. He admitted that. Is that going to be true for Marcus Smart?
Yeah, I saw somebody tweet
different
this, too.
Sports. Some of their different sports.
Somebody's got to explain to Marcus Smart the difference between being an unrestricted free agent and a restricted free agent. Because it is a big, big, big difference.
We sort of said the same about Butler.
Yeah.
Didn't we?
And what? How did you view it? Like, Happy Walters. That's his agent, right? That's the guy's name.
Clown Shoes.
Where's he ranking, like, NBA agents?
I have no idea. I just know that he just made Nerlens Noel lose $63
right.
million. Dollars,
see,
so
something doesn't seem right with that agent.
I'd say
nor
that's not a good agent to have.
We also said the same damn thing about Malcolm Butler. If you're trying to create this value, you got to get rid of that agent. You know, Malcolm's talking about he wanted to be a $15 million a year cornerback. Now, granted, he ended up getting paid. But probably could have taken a decent contract from the Patriots when they were offering it that time. And he would have jumped on it. Thought he should have taken it.
There's nothing wrong with saying that, hey, I believe that I'm a $15 million a year corner. And also acknowledging that, okay, but you're not. You have a contract still. You're a restricted guy.
But he didn't understand what the
restricted part is, right? You're going to have to play again like that for another year, and you'll really cash in.
Yeah.
Rob is in Foxborough. Rob.
Yeah, I mean, if they do lose Smart, would you possibly take a flyer on bringing back Isaiah?
No.
Just because he'll beat Chippy and, you know, maybe give you something?
No, I wouldn't do it. I'll tell you why. First of all, he's nothing like Smart in terms of the role.
Right.
He just doesn't. First of all, I think, as you said yesterday, been there, done that.
Yeah.
Okay? It's always going to be hard to bring back a guy who.
And bring him back here with Kyrie here?
A guy who went from being the man here to bringing him back in a reserve role. That's a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah, and follow the guy they traded for.
On like a mid-level deal for like $5 million. Hard pill for a player to swallow. Not only that, he doesn't fit. How does he fit the team?
He's not a great defender.
All right, so if you could, you know, and he's in the role of, you know, if you've got him as a backup guard, he doesn't defend well. So wipe that off the board. Secondly, he fit on a team where he was the guy because he was basically the offense. He could score, but how does that help you if he has to play minutes with all these other guys the Celtics have now?
Right.
You put him on the floor with Gordon Hayward. Does that work? No.
Mm-mm.
That's not what you want. He had free reign when he was here.
Right. He was your offense. When
he was it. He was all of it. He was your whole team.
You didn't have those nice pieces.
Offensively, he was your entire team, and I just don't think it's a good fit. I don't think it works anymore.
Yeah.
But the bigger part for me is, forget the part that doesn't even, it's not a good fit, basketball-wise. You think he wants to do that? Like, oh, never say anything's possible, never say never.
No.
No, I don't think that would work well.
I think that's a definite no.
He's not that valuable. Sorry.
Yeah. Damaged goods now, though.
He's not that, and he's got a hip problem.
That's more of an issue than, you know, can he still shoot now? It's the hip.
back up the Brinks truck. Oh, that one's going to go. That one, that quote is going to live on for a long time. Back up the Brinks truck. Now he's struggling 12 months later to get a job. Celtics played it right.
Got it. Nailed it.
Celtics absolutely played that right. 617-779-0985. Speaking of guards and Kyrie Irving, we've got a new explanation as to why it was that he would have wanted out of Cleveland.
I love these.
Okay, we'll get to that next.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub, the Beasley Media Group Station.